What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the Other Side of the Firewall podcast, where we talk about the latest and greatest in cybersecurity news, as well as we highlight those movers and shakers and glass ceiling breakers, those people of color who've made to the other side of the proverbial firewall. My name is Ryan Williams, and as always, I'm joined by Shannon Tynes.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on? So welcome to this will be Wednesday's episode, our discussion episode. So throughout the week, we drop an episode every day. Monday and Tuesday are our topics. Wednesday is our discussion. Thursdays is Ask a CISSP, where I interview somebody who's a mover, a shaker, glass ceiling breaker within the industry. And then Fridays, everything else, movies, books, games, diss tracks between contemporary rappers, whatever you want to discuss. We discuss on Friday's episode. So definitely tune in for all that good stuff. Hit up all the websites, go by our name, like, share, subscribe. Please subscribe to any, wherever you've seen us at, subscribe to it. And then without further ado, I give it to Shannon.
All right, everybody. So this article, actually, let's shout them out here. So Mike Ware actually put us onto this one. And this one is from theregister.com, written by Thomas Claiborne. And it's OpenAI's GPT-4 can exploit real vulnerabilities by reading security advisories. So I half-heartedly say it as a joke, but I say technology will kill us all. This is how it's going to happen, right? So like, think about what's going on here, right? So AI, right? What it's doing, what we have here with this large language model is doing is it's reading a security advisory, right? Security advisory says, hey, this is what's going on. This is what it is, blah, blah, blah. And GPT-4 is capable of exploiting 87% of these vulnerabilities, right? There were other models that they tested, right, outside of GPT-4, and they got 0% of exploitation. Like, think about that. So, like, something that is already known that's out there to everyone, that everyone can see, the CVE for whatever. It's made public by MITRE. Everyone looks at CVEs to get information that they need, right? And when they did this, test, they did it with one day attacks, right? So not your 0 days, but 1 days, right? So something was out there, it was posted, no patch for it yet, but GPT-4 was like 87% of the things that they presented to it, it was able to exploit. You know what I mean? That is crazy to me, but this is the way that we're going, right? So this is the way of the world. And in this article, they discuss possibly just not making these things available, which I don't think is the right answer either, right? They talk about, well, the way to get around this is to just not make it available, and then you won't have this issue. And I don't think that's the right way to go either, right? Like, people need to be made aware of things that are actually out there so they can be combated. But as always, we just need to get more inventive and get better at trying to figure out, okay, well, what do we do to fix this possible threat? You know what I mean? So one of the things they bring up in this article, which was kind of crazy to me, they computed the cost to conduct a successful large language model agent attack. The figure for that is $8.80 per exploit. So think about that.
It's efficient.
Very efficient. $8.80 per exploit, right? They're saying that is 2.8 times less than it would cost to hire a human penetration tester for 30 minutes. $8.80. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is the point that we're getting to now, right? And this is why some people have fear of AI, right? Because they're like, yeah, it will replace you. You know what I mean? Like, you got to pay, you know, list job here that can be done by AI. You know, you got to pay a human this much, but if they can exploit a vulnerability for $8.80, so imagine what it would take for them to write an article, you know, write a movie script, you know what I mean? Write a television show, you know, whatever it may be, right? This is what we're looking at, right? So another thing they had in here that I thought was kind of crazy was the code that they use. It consisted of just 91 lines of code and 1,056 tokens for the prompt that they put into GPT-4, right? This is where it kind of scares me, right? So OpenAI, which is the maker of GPT-4, they didn't want the prompts released to the public. They're like, whoa, please don't do this because of the perception of this, right? Like, how this can come off. They're like, please do not release it to the public. But the testers are like, well, we're not just going to put it out there, but if somebody requests it, we're going to give it to them, right? So this is the way of the world and where we're going right now, right? These are the types of things where we come up with all these good technologies and things of this nature. And this is, I don't want to call it the downside of this, but this is kind of a downside, right? Like the lack of money that is used to exploit, you know what I mean, for things that are out there, which we already see companies and organizations are not paying attention to, right? Like we have a lot of times where an organization gets hit with some ransomware or something like that, and it's something that's already been out there that they just haven't taken care of, right? So if GPT-4 can do this after one day exploits, right? Like it's just a matter of somebody that's paying attention to these vulnerability listings as they're coming out, taking advantage, right? And this is just the way of the world. So like, I don't know where to go from here. I see the benefits when it comes to these large language models and AI. I see the benefits of them, but this is the downside of that. You know what I mean? So Ryan, what's your thoughts on this, man?
I am highly optimistic. I'm super excited about this. Here's why. First, I'm super excited that people should like, share, subscribe. Like I can't jump up and down enough about that. Please like, share, subscribe. If you're listening to this, like legitimately, when I look at traffic, like 85%+ of all the videos being watched, which we have a consistent view rate, a consistent listening rate or whatever, are by new people. So it means people are showing up. I need you to stay. Please like, share. You subscribe to dumb stuff like cats playing pianos, people falling downstairs. Subscribe to something smart. All right. Just one time, please subscribe to something like this to get our viewership up so we can reach more people. Greatly appreciate it. With that being said, so I'm so optimistic about it because ChatGPT, I'm an avid user of ChatGPT-4. I'm going to murder the transcript by saying it incorrectly. ChatGPT-4. Huge champion of it. I love it. It helps me with creating art for the thumbnails. It helps me with truncating my writing to fit to posts, right? Because I blab too much. So give me a concise 750 character post for LinkedIn, and it does it. It is phenomenal, and this is the dumbest it will ever be. So at its dumbest, it's able to exploit, what did you say, like 85%, 87% of these vulnerabilities? Yep. At its dumbest. So that means that ChatGPT-5 will probably be 100%. That's just the way it is. To extrapolate how quickly 3 to 3.5 to 4 went, 5 is going to be a monster. With that being said, I'm not excited about the exploitation. I'm excited about the defense that will come out of it. So if it's able to exploit, it should also be able to defend. So we should be able to build a better mousetrap. So if it's that accurate at exploiting these one days, how good will 5 be at defending 0 days? Like, I'm very excited about that just by seeing the evolution of ChatGPT. So I think this is exactly what we need. It's good that they found this out. I'm not excited that they shared it. Like, if OpenAI asked you not to share it, you would think out of mutual respect they wouldn't share it. They'd be like, okay, this could be a danger, so we won't share this. But freedom. So it is what it is.
Well, they said they weren't going to put it out there in the open for everyone. They said if anyone requests it, right? So that's the thing.
Yeah, you have to hope somebody... You got to say, no, we can't share this. Because typically what happens when you find an exploit, you're supposed to give it to the company. Mm-hmm. And then if they don't do anything about it, it's kind of open season for you to share it. They're just like, nah, we're not going to publish it, but we will hand it out.
I think their reason for it, though, is because of how efficient it was in such a little amount of time. I think that's why they're doing that. Because usually when that happens, like, you're correct. Like, they usually go to the company and say, hey, fix this. Like, we're talking 90 days, right? Like, yeah. This thing exploited it in a day, like a one day vulnerability. You know what I mean? Like 0 days. And I'm with you on the what can come out of this. You know what I mean? Like, because 5 is going to be a monster. Like, if you got 87 with 4, like, oh my gosh, it's going to be 110% with 5. Like, I don't know how you get the extra credit.
It's like, you forgot these. Yeah, here's all these things we exploited. You forgot some of these these extra ones. Here you go.
But no, I mean, I don't know. I feel we're on different sides of this, I think. Like, gotcha. I don't know.
Well, that's what's so good about the discussion episode. Like, I like that. So now we have plenty to argue about. Yeah. No, so my thing is, I listened to this very good episode of a very good podcast, right? So I listened to the GRC Academy podcast by Jacob Hill. So he's a friend of the show. He's been on Ask a CISSP. This episode was entitled Integrating Threat Intelligence into Vulnerability Management with Patrick Garrity. And it's just coincidence that these two lined up. Like, I was listening to that episode. I thought it was pretty cool. He's talking about how threat intelligence just needs to evolve, right? He was talking about how the CVSS scoring and the CVEs and just how we haven't really marched forward in a while. And to answer your question earlier, so in 1999, MITRE created the... Make sure I get the wording right. Ah, I closed it, but it created CVEs in 1999 because I Googled it and it's right. but with that being said, there hasn't really been much progression. We have hundreds of thousands of vulnerabilities. They get categorized like they should. They get pushed out to the masses to do remediation, cleanup, just balance their risk. So to speak, it's like, can we batch this? Is this vulnerable? Like, is this an actual threat to us? But what happens is it doesn't scale. So no one goes back to change 100,000 plus, like let's say there's 200, 400,000 CVEs out there that have been categorized and what have you. As they change in severity, like say this one is not as much of a problem, it doesn't necessarily get touched again. So if it was a 9 when it when it dropped as a 0 a day, what is it now that people have been patched out of it, have been patching out their systems for years? Is it a 2 or a 3? It's still a 9 because no one ever went back to change that. So it doesn't scale well. And they're saying how the integration of AI will help with that, because then we can add patterns. We can push out there like, hey, this is a vulnerability you need to patch. And then as we go back to check our systems to see if people patched it, the severity should slide. It should change. Just so that way you're not inundated with too much information. Like if you have a million highs that you're trying to patch out, are they still a million highs, or over the time have they become mediums and lows? Like it just doesn't scale. Like, yes, you should still continue to patch, but it's just, it's too much for a human to analyze. So why don't we add AI to the fold to be able to go in and not only scale these things, but then go back in to make sure that are doing our due diligence. Have they been patched out? Is there something we missed? Because all these things are being pushed out. So I'm not into the day-to-day like Shannon is, right? That's really your wheelhouse. But from my network perspective, right, when we're going through and we're doing STIGs and what have you, it wasn't necessarily to make a healthier network. It was compliance. And that was it. It wasn't security. It was just compliance. So that's the separation that people have a hard time articulating. We want to be secure continuously. When these evaluations come up, it's just about compliance. It's just I need to get my score down as low as possible. And then you start to split hairs. You're like, well, here we have 1,000 threes or lows or whatever, but we need to knock out these highs and criticals. And they might not necessarily be the ones that we're most vulnerable to. We might be more vulnerable to the lows and the mediums than we are to the highs because they just are not practical within our environment. But you need to get that score down. So I think to scale it, to have AI be a component of it, I think that's the future. Like this one was talking about attack. So obviously this is going to be on the negative side, right? Unless you're a red teamer. But on the blue side or purple side, I think that this will, in the future, scale well. And yes, it will take people's jobs. Like they're showing it, like $8. You know how much a pen tester costs?
Yeah.
It's not $8. I'll tell you that much. So in those fields, like people who are coding, people who are pen testers, things of that nature, I think there should be a little bit of worry. Not necessarily that your job it's going to go away overnight, but that you'll need to evolve within your job. You need to become a better prompt engineer or learn what prompt engineering is. So that way when they start to add all these unicorn requirements to your jobs, saying like you have to be a seasoned pen tester with a CISSP and you need to be an AI guru with ability to engineer prompts. You're gonna have to fight for that job because it's gonna be, the pool is gonna get smaller because AI will be the game changer. So you need to be the best pen tester / prompt engineer / AI guru in the next 5 to 10 years possible, because those jobs will start to shrink. Same thing will be for GRC, for all across the board. Like there'll be less of us who are just one trick ponies than those who are able to scale with AI. That's just what it's going to be. So unfortunate or fortunate, however it is, but I mean, it was already scaling anyway. Like we were already seeing that you had to not only know how to secure a network, but also how to build a network, to also how to, you know, manage CVSS or HBSS. You had to be everything. Like in the Air Force, we just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Because you can't just be a telephone guy. You can't just be a network lady. You can't just be, you have to be more multifaceted, right? When I was leaving, they called it like, what do they call it? Agile? You had to be an agile airman. So the same thing is going to happen here in the public sector when it comes to AI. You have to be able to do multiple things at once. So I don't know if that's negative or not. Did I just leave on a negative note? I'm trying to leave on a positive note. I was trying to be optimistic here. But no, I think this is going to be great. I think I'm glad that Mike Ware shared it. Just for people's situational awareness, like, hey, ChatGPT can do some things you didn't know it could do. And now you need to be aware of that and better protect yourself and learn how to build a better mousetrap. Like if it can do this on the offensive side, what are we doing with it on the defensive side? Like that has to scale as well. Again, like that GRC Academy episode that I was listening to was very good. I didn't make it all the way through yet. Cause I only listened to it in the car and I work from home now. So I'm only in a car to run errands, but it's called Integrating Threat Intelligence into Vulnerability Management with Patrick Garrity. It was a really good episode, especially if you're in that GRC space. And you're a patch management person, or configuration management person, like that's definitely speaking to you. And then what was the other thing? Oh, there's the subtitle to this article that you read. So you see, I just peeped it.
I did, but I didn't want to say it.
So OpenAI's GPT-4 can exploit real vulnerabilities by reading security advisories, then subtitle, while some other LMMs appear to flat out suck. They're talking about Llama. They're talking about, what's the other one? I forget.
They listed them in there. They listed them in the article. I didn't go into it. I did see that, and I probably, if you look at the video, I probably had a smirk come up because I was like, no, I'm not gonna read that.
Yeah, I'm rooting for OpenAI, man. Like not only because I pay them on a monthly, but best $20 I've ever spent. I love it. But it is getting rid of people's jobs. Like, I don't have to go to Fiverr to get somebody to do thumbnails or to help me with my SEO, which still sucks, but not because all the new stuff has good SEO, because ChatGPT, I ask it for that. Like my prompt says, give me posts that entice readers to watch the episode. And then I have all the character limits for all the different ones. Like give me an Instagram one, give me a LinkedIn one, give me like, and I'm starting to get more specific within each one. And then I have one that's like, give me the SEO tags, like, and then it just spits it all out. And that's five people's jobs right there. So for me being a solo entrepreneur, chef's kiss. Love it. So that's the way of the world. Until one day I try to go to work and I'm locked out of everything. They're just like, nope, we hired AI. We no longer need your GRC capabilities. AI does it better. Then I'd be sad.
Yeah.
So, but definitely continue to tune in throughout the week. So Monday, Tuesday, our topics. Wednesday, discussion. Thursdays, ask a CISSP. And then Fridays, everything else. Movies, books, games, all that good stuff. And then check out the newsletter. So newsletter drops every Friday. And it has a recap of all of our different articles. All the video and audio is embedded. So it's a one-stop shop for you. And then I usually have something personal in there that I've done. Like one of them was me going to Universal and talking about Harry Potter and how to understand anything that's going on with that. The most recent was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I talk about that and just how that's my favorite game of all time. And I go through kind of like a little bit of a history, but like 2-3 paragraphs. It's not a lot within those sections. And then just a quick recap. And then whoever I'm going to have on the episode is really, it's really efficient. So definitely subscribe on LinkedIn or Medium. So hit up all the websites that go by our name, The Other Side of the Firewall, The Other Side of the FW, or Ask a CISSP. And then hit up Shannon in real life. He doesn't have a social media presence. His footprint is very small. And then hit up all of the social medias that go by my name, at RyRy Security Guy. That's RyRy Security Guy. You can find me on LinkedIn, Clubhouse, Twitter, Threads, IG, Facebook, TikTok, and Medium. So I'm all over the place. So definitely hit me up if you have any questions. I love to engage with you. Stay safe. Stay secure.